Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, well, welcome to Guts Church. Pastored by Pastor Sandy Shear and her husband, Bill. Sandy, you mind standing? Sandy, taking advantage of the last couple days of wearing white. And I know that some people say you can wear white. I guess girls can wear white after Labor Day, but not if you're from the South, huh, Sandy? If you're from the South, you bet those britches have to go to storage until, what is it, April or May or something, Sandy? When is it? I don't know. She doesn't care. Easter. Easter's when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and white britches. Well, welcome to Guts Church. Hey, what a great time to be at Guts. I'll tell you, and I appreciate that Seltzer Boy got up and made that video. It's emotional watching because I'm emotional now anyway because it's September. And you'll say, well, what's so big about September? September is a big month because I'm preparing now. I'm preparing my heart. I'm preparing my life. I'm preparing our church, our staff, everybody I can for October, because we own October. And I'll just tell you this, I've had it up to here with us just mealy-mouthing and sugarcoating the impact that the devil has on people's lives. So I say this October, we don't just own October, but we just rip him a new one. And that's what my heart is, that we just rip the devil a new one in October. And honestly, bring captivity captive. The world right now, I'll just tell you, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine yesterday. He was on the road. He and his wife have a church in Kentucky. And Pastor Sandy and I we're their pastors, and they're submitted to this Guts culture, I guess. They're part of the Guts Church family in Kentucky, and they're taking over her father's church in Amarillo. And it's interesting because they haven't been there for 12 or 15 years, and the church has had some ebb and flow, and some things happened. And the pastor got divorced, and he had a heart attack and a stroke, and he's a good man, great man, and he's remarried, but you know, all that stuff takes its toll. And it's interesting because they were driving, and I was just talking to him, and she said that there's a friend of hers that was a dear friend of hers. She's a hairdresser in Amarillo, and she just said, I just need to build a team. This is an overused term, okay? So I'm repeating what she said. Just to do life together, you know. And so she put a Facebook message. I'm not on Facebook, so evidently you can message people on Facebook. And she put a Facebook message out there that just said, "Hey, I'm gonna have a Bible study. I'd like to get together. If you'd like to do life and get in the Word and do life with us." We want you to be able to do it. And in 6 hours, over 400 women responded to it. And I started thinking about it. I started thinking, wow. Number one, just the power of social media in that medium. But number two, I think the world's hungry for a living God. I really do. I think that all this stuff, I mean, millennials are rejecting church. I think that's bogus. I think people are way into a living God. If God is who he says he is, it'll be overwhelming in our lives. And that's the title of the message today in this series is it's an overwhelming life. This message is going to become a mini book. It's going to become a workbook. It's going to be something that I want you to take to your children. Something that I want you to take to your children's children. That's what kind of message that this is today. See, if we can get the point across to people that God wants us, our life, to be overwhelmingly blessed, how in the world can people reject that? But, you know, I mean, honestly, what we've got to do is we've got to get by and not be ignorant and get past the devil's devices is what the Bible calls it. And that is lies and deception, accusations. That's what the devil uses, okay? He can't put a sickness on you. He could just deceive you into thinking it's going to wreck your life or ruin it. He can't take your money, but you know what? He could convince you that you could lose your money. And see, and that's what we have to understand. That's where we have to go. But we have to understand what inspires us. I'll tell you what, I'm inspired right now. Next week is going to be life-changing. And honestly, you need to fill up your vans and your station wagons and your pickup trucks and bring people to church. John Bevere is going to minister here next Sunday. It's going to be a life-changing weekend at this church. Okay, the next week is on, we have services on Sunday, and then Pastor Sandy's got her women's event on the 10th, that Monday night. Okay, this place needs to be filled to the rafters with women. And then the next week, we're bringing Coach Bob Stoops in, who is, I'm just telling you, you bring a guy in that can build young men and leaders and coaches like he can, I want to hear from him. And so he and I are going to share the stage. It's going to be an honor for me. It's going to be the 17th, the following Monday night. So really there's so much going on and so much opportunity to grab life by the throat and honestly get all of God that we could get and be who God's called us to be. But we got to figure out what inspires us. I'm inspired right now. I'm inspired in October to get with all of my friends and my family and just rip the devil a new one. Anybody with me on that? I'm just telling you, man, he has lied and deceived and accused. And you know what? I say we just boat race his butt and boat race him. But I'm going to ask you today, can you flip the switch? And that's what you've got to do. You've got to flip the switch in your life and let God's promise take that place in your life that inspires you and allow God to elevate your life. See, I think people have a problem with elevation. I think people have a problem with promotion. Because here's the deal. How many of you guys in here are Christians? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys in here are committed to Jesus? Can I see your hands? Do you know all God wants to do is promote you? Let him. See, that's the bottom line. We have to let him promote us. See, the Bible's real clear. Promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It doesn't come laterally. It comes from above. And see, but so many people miss out and get deceived in the idea that they could be promoted. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too black. I'm too white. I'm too Hispanic. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too poor. I'm too rich. What? You see, all that stuff is baloney. All God wants to do is promote you. God wants to elevate every part of your life. Will you let him? But you know what? I believe too, we've got to be inspired to be promoted, inspired to be elevated. Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things, all the stuff that the Gentiles are seeking. He said, it'll be added unto you. God's just gonna dump it in your lap. Man, this is the greatest life known to mankind. And I believe God's looking for us to live it. I personally have so much to learn about this. So let's get in the Word. You guys ready? Are you ready? Is your heart ready for God's Word today? Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Deuteronomy 11. And let's go to verse 22. For if you, okay, I'll flip that first person to me. For if I carefully keep, I've underlined that, I've highlighted that in my Bible, the commandments that I command to you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. Okay, it's real simple. God, I'm not sure what to do. God, no, you know what? It's real easy. Love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and hold fast to him. But if you carefully keep these commandments, listen to this, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. You're going to dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. God just flipped the script. We're not the underdog anymore. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river to the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. Three quick things. Take a picture of the screen when they all come up. Love the Lord your God. That just means submit to his life in you. See, here's what's the deal is, we've got to submit ourselves to God. His life's already in us. Submit to the life that's in you, okay? Walk in all of his ways. Quit picking and choosing it. Act upon what you believe. And then hold fast to him. Trust him. Trust him. Put all your trust in him. It's so simple. It's so easy. I'm going to give you, I've got 10 points today, okay? So hold on to your hair hat. Everywhere the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. That's number one. Everywhere. Let me tell you, here's how preaching works for me. We're holding court. That's how you do it at your home. You have to own the room. You have to own the situation. You got to own your problem. You've got to own the challenge. You got to own it, man. You take the field. Let me tell you. OU didn't go out yesterday to play Florida Atlantic and think, well, man, these guys are good athletes. I hope we can run with these guys. No, you know what? They went out there and owned it. Opening kickoff. What'd the kicker do? He kicked it out of the end zone. Man, what happened? Man, the defense settled in and said, we're going to give you three plays, then we're going to make you punt. You're going to punt it to us, and you know what? We're going to go score. And then we're going to kick it out of the end zone again. We're going to let you run three plays, then you're going to punt it again to us. And you know what? This time, we're going to block the punt. We're going to take it in for six. See, that's owning. Listen, that's what we have to be about our lives. See, because here's the language God uses for us. He says, I will contend with who and what contends with you. So how many of you guys have contention in your life? How many of you guys have a battle in your life? How many of you guys have an enemy to your soul? How many of you guys have things that are resisting God's promise in your life? Anybody? Man, it's hard. It's difficult. Are you kidding me? Man, God's not going to. He's going to fight for us. Man, God's going to get in your way and beat your enemies. See, it's not me. I'm not out here alone. I'm not here trying to do it. Let me tell you, all God wants me to do is own the room. All God wants me to do is hold court in my life. And you know what? He gives me control back in my life where I'm able to make the right decisions. You know why? God hadn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Think about that. Love, where I could forgive you. I could look past your deficiencies. I can get over what's been done in my life. Why? Because God loves me. If God be for me, what does the Bible say? Who could be? What matters who's against me? So it's love, power, supernatural power, grave-shaking power, hell-defeating power, overcoming power, and a sound mind. Everybody say a sound mind. You know what that sound mind is? It gives you the opportunity to own your space, to own your life, to listen, to own the place that you're in. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouse and all which you set your hand, and he'll bless you in the land for which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will command. He's not gonna offer it up. He's gonna command that blessing. See, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, or in right standing, or at eye level with God. So you know what that tells us? I command a blessing in my life. You know what I'm going to do today? You guys get ready. Get ready. I command a blessing in your life in the name of Jesus. I command your life blessed in Jesus' name. What am I doing? I'm owning my space. I'm owning the room. I'm realizing everywhere my foot lands, I possess it. See, the honest to God, I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I just have to let it. And see, that's what God gives us. This message, this word today is designed, I believe, from heaven to change your life, your outlook, how you see life from now on. Instead of you just taking another lateral step, you know what? Every step you take is going to elevate your life. Every step you take is gonna put your life in a better place. Number two, God blesses your storehouses and everything you put your hand to. Everything. Everything. God blesses your storehouse. Sandy and I lived in Hemet, California. We're youth pastors. I made $16,000 a year. Hundreds of kids in our youth group. Had a move of God like I've never seen, and it was shocking. Man, we had Hispanic kids that didn't even speak English that would sit through messages and answer altar calls. I mean, gang kids, athletes. It was just amazing. But you know what's funny? I was sitting in a service or a meeting or something, and somebody talked about God blessing your storehouses. And I realized, I don't think I have a storehouse. Because, you know, when you've got a wife and two little babies and you're renting a house and you've got a car payment and you make $16,000 a year, there's really no need for a storehouse. It goes from here to there. It's hand to mouth. It's month to month. You get through the month. And let me just tell you, the testimony of those 3 years, we never bounced a check and never were late on a payment. It's interesting. Sandy's walking in a high level pride right now because she found out what her credit score is. And it's better than mine. I'm like, who the heck are you? She goes, I don't know. I'm just wearing you out. I'm beating you every day. And that's why I've got to be competitive. I'm married to Sandy. She sits up here all demure, just nodding and stuff. You guys know better. I'll tell you what we call her back at the crib. The Cobra. It's like, dear God, what was that? Where did that come from? That's Sandy. But anyway, what was I talking? Oh, so God will bless your storehouse. I'm driving home, and I realize I don't have a storehouse. Notice I make $16,000 a year. So it's 1988, okay? It's not like, well, inflation, you can buy with it that long. No, it wasn't like in the 50s, okay? So I go home, I'm talking to Sandy. She opens up a savings account. I think you have to put like $20 in it. We put $20 in it. 1 year later, I made $16,000 that year. 1 year later, we had $12,000 in that savings account. Yeah, woo. That's what I was saying. I said, dear God, I'm giving God a fighting chance in my life. You know what? It changed my whole outlook. Now my lifestyle, now the level of living, my quality of life is not determined by my paycheck. I'm just telling you something I live. It's not something where it's like, well, here's what we can dream toward. This is how we live our lives now. Man, see, the bottom line with this, it's not about your paycheck. It's not about your credit score. It's about where you can believe, what you can put your belief in. But how do you get to that place where God will bless your storehouse? How do you get to that place that God will bless everything you put your hand to? Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is your heritage. Okay? And their righteousness is for me, says the Lord. Numbers 3 and 4. Number three, 10 points today. You got to, again, I'm telling you, hang on. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Woo! Man, the devil can't. Man, you get cancer, you get a tumor, you get something that happens in your life. Let me tell you something. Don't break stride. Write that down. Don't break stride. You get some bad news, don't break stride. I'm just telling you, the bottom line is when something comes in to hit you, you got to throw the throttle back. You've got to accelerate through it. You can't flinch, you can't duck, you can't quit, you can't give up ground. I'm telling you, if the devil's trying to deceive you into thinking that there's no progress in your life or that it's not gonna work out in your life, that's where I'm telling you, you gotta start throwing haymakers. See, that's what God's put in you. God's put in you the ability to throw haymakers. Your marriage is bad, your marriage is rocky, you're having a hard time in your marriage, start throwing haymakers. Start believing God. I'm just telling you, that's how this works. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Everyone who rises against you in judgment, God condemns. And actually, it says you'll condemn. But there's a condemnation for somebody. You know what? You have to understand, when the enemy comes into your life, the Bible says this, when the enemy comes in, the Bible says like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. I'm telling you, let me tell you, your enemies don't want God to get indignant about you. I'll tell you what, God brings fury and terror on our enemies. See, that's what happens. But you know what? Man, we get under attack, we start trying to find a cradle. We start caving. The church is designed for us to talk about these things we don't normally talk about, but are true. They're absolutely true. In Malachi the third chapter in the sixth verse, God, he says, for I'm the Lord and I do not change. Is that good news for you? God's always where he's supposed to be. God honors everything he's supposed to honor. God's a God of precedent. Has God ever blessed? Has God ever healed? Has God ever delivered? Has God, do you understand? If God's ever delivered anybody from drugs, he has to deliver you. Why? He doesn't change. He's no respecter of person. He's a God of precedent. Man, if God's blessed the people that are sitting by you, thank God they're sitting by you. You know why? Because he's bound to his promise to bless you. Has God ever healed anybody? That sickness in your life. But you know what the devil's going to do? The devil's going to try to deceive you into thinking it's not for you. Maybe that's my thorn in the flesh. Would you, hey. I'm telling you, it's just religion. The one thing Jesus hated was religion. Well, God will allow it. Why is God allowing that? God's not allowing Jack. Adam and Eve leased the world to Lucifer. And you know what? God sent Jesus and redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the curse of the world. What's the curse of the world? Poverty, number one. What's the most frequent subject Jesus talked about? Money, cash, cheddar. What's that other word they said? Huh? No, there was something like skillet or something. Somebody said some kind of new. What? That's it. What is it? Say it again. I'm going to say it. Skrilla. You know why I could say that? Because I'm woke. Shut your laughing. I'm telling you. No, this is woke church. It's not guts anymore. Woke. That's gangster too, isn't it? Is woke gangster? Don't make me go gangster on you. For I'm the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed. Are you saying, look, it can't beat you because God doesn't change. You can't lose because God doesn't change. See, that's the promise that God gives us here. Yet from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. You know what he said? Return to me and I'll return to you. Return to me, my promise will return to you. Return to me, my blessings will return to you. Man, I'm just telling you, the bottom line is, man, we can't back down one inch. But you say, in what ways shall we return? Will a man rob God? Will a man spoil God? Will a man defraud God? Let me tell you, a Christian living in poverty is fraud. I know it's harsh words, but let me tell you, what kind of pastor, what kind of leader, what kind of shepherd would I be to let you live hand to mouth and month to month? It's not right. It's not fair. I'm believing God for $1 million. To finish up the legacy campaign. Why? Because we set that number out there. Let me just tell you, when we set a number, we hit that number. So what needs to happen? Man, yeah, somebody could just come in and write $1 million check, or you know what? Man, 1,000 people could write $1,000 check. Man, which makes a stronger church? And you know what? We can't win in life. You can't win in life by thinking, yeah, I can't be one of those 1,000. I'm not laying a trip on anybody. I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to wake you up a little bit. In what way have we robbed you? You might say, man, I'm doing my best. You might say, are you kidding me? You're God and I'm just a man, or I'm just a girl, or I'm just a woman. Oh, you might say, but I'm just getting by. I'm trying. God said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You know what he's saying here? It's not about money. He's saying, you've robbed me in covenant. See, I think most people have this line of demarcation, this line of separation, that on this side of the line is mine and on this side of the line is God's. See, you know what? When you tithe, when you give the first 10% of the whole of your income, when you give that, you're just saying, God, my money, my life is yours. Because the Bible says your treasure, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Like 70 to 75% of what Jesus talked about was money. Man, I remember I was playing on the U.S. or the Western U.S. rugby team. We were in Houston at getting ready to play a game. It was Saturday morning. We're in the ballroom of a hotel. And back then it was the early 80s. And man, they had this state-of-the-art big screen TV, like this big box. It's like a boat anchor now. It's like this thing. And the guy had a remote. And he's flipping the remote. And, you know, there's like 30 of us in there. I was the token Christian. And it's Sunday morning. He's flipping the channels, and Oral Roberts came up. He said, "Oh, Shear, well, this is what you want to watch, isn't it?" He said, "Yeah, I love me some Oral. Let's watch some Oral." And I'm thinking, man, this is great. The guy said, "I will watch this until he tries to get into my wallet." It wasn't 10 seconds. And they're flipping the channel. And the first thing I thought was, "Oh, come on, Oral. You could have at least given it a couple minutes." But you know what? The next thing I thought was the truth. And you know what the truth is? All these men in here are deceived about money, are being lied to about their finances. And I'm telling you, I believe that's the biggest lie and the biggest deception. You're cursed with a curse is what God said, for you've robbed me. He said, even this whole nation, a very important note here is the tithe was practiced before the law and commanded under the grace of the New Testament. Verse 10, and here's where the solution is. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse and where you get fed. Where you're shepherded, where you're led. Bring all the, there may be food in my house. And then God says this, try me now in this. He said that I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you're unable to receive. You can't contain it. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine, and you'll be called a delightful, blessed land. Man, you know what? God wants his church to be so attractional. He wants people to look at your kids and say, man, they're a delight. See, that's what covenant with God brings our lives. And that's what this is. This is all about covenant. What God, bring all the tithes into the store so there may be food in my house and try me now in this. See, paraphrased, here's how I paraphrase this. I'm going to blow your life wide open and make it so overwhelmingly blessed that everyone sees the love that we have for each other. That's what God's saying here. Man, I want to pull out all the stops. I want to bless your life immeasurably. If I don't open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing, such a blessing, there isn't room enough to receive, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the land. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. The next 6 points, get ready. Number 5, an open heaven in your life. No difference between heaven and earth. Man, what if these notes, what if you'd re-listen to this message, you take notes and you pass this to your son? A little window into my world. I'm a dad. My function is to provide and protect. All right? So the kid gets a skinned knee, it's like rub some dirt on it and just get back out there. Okay? Poor Taylor's like 7 or 8 years old, fell at a park, hurt his arm. For 2 weeks, he said, my arm still hurts. I'm like, son, this is... At some point, you're going to have to deal with it, okay? At some point, you got to realize. So finally, 2 weeks later, Sandy said, I'm going to take him to the doctor. He had a broke arm, okay? I wasn't dad of the year that year, okay? But it's protect and provide, all right? But let me just tell you, full disclosure, we have 3 kids. My 2 oldest kids make more money than I do. I don't like it any more than you do. I'm competitive. But the bottom line is, why? Because every single day, Sandy tucked those kids in, we laid hands on them, she blessed them. And the girls, it was 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 90 minutes sometimes, just girl talk. I'm like, what are you guys doing up there? See, and the bottom line with this is, what did that do? That set things in motion and laid that foundation and that mindset of overwhelmingly blessed life. That's how it happens. It's every single day you're putting bricks in the wall. You're laying concrete to the foundation. Number six, blessing that there's not room enough to contain. That's beyond your natural scope. See, this is all the covenant of the tithe. God's not just saying you're robbing me with your money. He's saying you're robbing me with our covenant. I'm the God of more than enough, and I want to prove it through my people. Number seven, he rebukes the devourer from the midst of our life. Every single one of my kids, there were times where I could tell the devil wanted to deceive us and them think that he could take them out, and he couldn't. Why? Everywhere the sole of my foot lands, I possess it. Socially, same way. Your fruit will endure. God doesn't, listen, God's will isn't for you just to bear fruit. God's will is for you to bear fruit and that fruit to remain. Number nine, you'll be identified blessed in a delightful land. I'm telling you, that's a game changer. Delightful people get better jobs. Delightful people get promoted. Delightful people get raises. Delightful people are indispensable. And there's one thing I know in life. Number 10, the tithe brings overwhelming triumph in our lives. I'm just telling you. I've talked about it a lot. Taylor contracted an amoebic parasite in Haiti. Over the course of 10 or 11 days, he lost 35 or 40 pounds. He was 19 years old, college student. And Sandy and I were out of town, and he just said, something's wrong. We flew home, took him to the doctor. Doctor put his hands up like this. He said, man, there's nothing we can do. Sandy and I went out in the hall, and Sandy said, Bill, we are never going to utter the words that doctor just uttered. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to condemn those words right now in Jesus' name. Because you know what? They offered no hope. He's done. And you know what? We were out in the hall and we prayed. And one aspect of the prayer, the Spirit of God rose up in me. I said, God, we tithe. Our fruit won't fall immature. And when I think of fruit, my go-to is my children. And I said, God, I rebuke that devourer right now in Jesus' name. Not an hour later, I get a phone call from Dr. Mitch Dunick, who was at that time, he was a missionary doctor in Ghana, Africa. He said, man, I heard you're in the hospital. I heard you guys are going through something. I said, yeah, Taylor's got an amoebic parasite. He said, where have you been? I said, oh, he went to Haiti a couple weeks ago. He said, yeah, there's an amoebic parasite that people contract in Haiti that takes 10 or 11 days for it to show up in your system. And it was exact timing. He said, tell that doctor to give him this antibiotic. The doctor had gone like this and said, there's no hope. And he's the number one infectious disease doctor in Oklahoma and Texas. He said, there's no hope. I went in and I said, hey, doc, could you give him this antibiotic? He said, hey, you're the preacher, I'm the doctor. I said, yeah, I get it. Can you give him this antibiotic? He gave him that antibiotic. The next morning, Taylor was fine and they released him. There was no hope. It went from no hope to him going home. See, but you look at this and you can say, well, that all could have happened. Yeah, really? We went out in the hallway, and you know what? I watched my wife put her foot in the dirt and take that ball upfield. And that's what we've got to do in our lives sometimes. The 10th point, the tithe brings overwhelming triumph in our lives, because you think about the residual effect of the tithe. He pours out a blessing that is so great, we can't contain it. Man, you think about what's happening in our lives and how great our God is and how easy it is for us to overcome. Overcoming for me is easy. But you know what? Every storm, every battle, and every enemy I face, I think, oh gosh, how are we gonna get through this? How are we gonna deal with this? Here's what God does. Can I help you? You take a stand of faith and let the dead gum chips fall, because they're all gonna pile up in front of you. You hear me? Man, let this inspire you. Please go back and re-listen to this message with your Bible open and say, God, show me what I missed in that service. Lead and guide me in all truth. Remind me of everything you promised, God, because that's what the entrance of his word brings, life, light and life, and allows the Spirit to flow through our lives. The Bible says to be filled with the Spirit of God. The original text says be being filled with the Spirit of God. So it's every day, it's every afternoon, it's every evening, it's every morning. You know what? I just need more of you, God.